Somebody say something.
Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast.
Hello.
God.
It's New Year's Eve bullshit.
Yeah.
This is the Brothers Geek. We are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. Welcome. This is episode number 125. We're recording this.
124. Hello.
Wait, 124 was the last one.
That was 123. Was the last one.
Okay, 124. Apologize. 124. This is January 12th.
2020.
Welcome to 20. I should have done a Barbara Walters voice. Damn it. Let me redo this. Yeah. Hello. Welcome to the Brothers Geek Pod. That's terrible. She sounds like she has like food in her mouth or something. I'm Barbara Walters.
Okay, now that you live like in LA, you gotta hook yourself up with like a voice coach or something. There's gotta be somebody out there.
I can find one.
Accents.
Yeah. I can definitely find one. Yeah, no,
there's gotta be accents out there, accent coaches out there for you.
And because you're in LA and you're closer to us than you were when you were in Portland, you're a lot louder.
Oh,
very much
right?
So.
Yes,
just by
just proximity.
Proximity. That's how the internet works. When you're closer to things, they're louder.
Yes, that's exactly.
That's how the internet works. You're welcome. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Science.
Science.
You didn't realize this was a science podcast, did you guys?
Welcome to the science podcast. Brothers Geek does science.
Brothers Geek does science.
It has always been the science podcast.
Brothers Geek just fucking makes it up as they go along.
The first 123 were
Brothers Geek
warm up.
Welcome to Geek Bleed Science Podcast.
Geek Bleed Science Podcast. Let's go.
Well, all back.
Half of episode 54 was all about
half
science,
of it.
Remember?
Yeah,
there was so much. There was so much science in
we
episode 54.
All the science of Star Wars, and Star Trek, and
we
the Expanse, and Dune, and all in that episode.
We solved the three body problem in that episode.
Three body problem, all in one episode. I don't know what that means, Christopher. You're the only one who read that book.
Yeah.
What is the three body problem? What does
can
that mean?
Can you tell us in three sentences or less?
No.
Okay. Well, then we're not going to get into it.
They wrote a giant novel about it.
Yes, they
did. And so yeah, I guarantee there is nothing short about that.
There is nothing short about it.
We're Brothers for Geek. We talk about geeky things. Hello, brothers. We're gonna do.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh,
my name is Andrew.
Oh, that's Christopher. You know what I hear a lot from people who listen to this? They have trouble deciphering our three voices. We have similar voices. We're brothers. I mean, I don't think we sound the same because you both sound like idiots.
Is appropriate because you sound like a jackass.
True.
Jack wagon.
Not just a jackass, a wagon.
Wagon.
But
four wheeled jack wagon.
That's right. So I'm Patrick Schmaltz with my two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Hi.
And Andrew Schmaltz.
Hello. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2020, everybody.
Yes. Yep. Boom. 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 You guys think that we sound the same? Do we sound similar?
No, because, I'm used to the sound of your voices, so you guys don't sound like me at all.
Yes.
We've known each other our entire lives, so it's easy for us to...
My ears do not bleed when they hear my voice, but they do when they hear your voice.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
He's just a masochist, really. That's what the answer is.
That is exactly it. I enjoy pain.
pain.
Well, come to the right podcast for
you
that.
Come to the right podcast for pain. Pain and Science on 124.
Pain and Science. We're going to rename this. The Pain and Science podcast.
Pain and Science. The 2019. I mean, honestly, if we were going to title 2019 as a year, pain we could science. Do Pain and Science.
Pain and Science. Well,
that's pain actually, and Science.
That's Pain and Science.
Well, that's that. This is the best of 2019 episode.
That's what I'm
right?
saying. So exactly. Oh, yeah, I started to say that. That we're going to do a 2019 best of. So this
and
is
just your... as a preamble. I mean, this is the correct way to do.
Yeah,
best of 20. When you wait until December 31st to for the year to end, and then yes. when you do to start thinking about what you did the previous year, you have to wait yeah. for the previous year to end.
All the things are out. Because, all the things are
that's science. Yeah.
That is science.
That's science.
The year is now over.
It's the arbitrary line that we've drawn in the sand as to the end of 2019.
Human created calendar.
Yep. There's a lot. There's a lot of people who think. You know, there's nothing, they're not going to release anything good in the next 2 weeks before 2019 is over. And so let's beat everybody to the punch with our best of list, but.
Which is a load of cow flop because they released 1917 on Christmas Day. Which
yeah.
They would be wrong.
They would be totally wrong.
It would be wrong.
Of course, they also did release Cats on Christmas Day, which was.
The greatest movie of all time?
The greatest movie of all time. Do we know anybody that actually saw that freaking movie?
I do not know anyone who
Me neither.
Actually sat through it. But
I
like
know zero.
I would definitely I don't think I'd pay to see it, but like if it was rented and we
Oh, if it ends up on a streaming service at one
I would totally point. Watch it.
I'm going to sit down and watch it just for the experience of
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yes. yes.
Because
yes.
it's gotten like the notoriety
I'm,
of being
I'm
such
telling
a train
you,
wreck that
I'm,
it's,
I'm proposing this right now that we must do an anti one shot when
Oh heck
streaming.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Right? Yep. Right?
Totally That's down for that.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Totally yep. should do that. Okay. Best of 2019. We're gonna try to be spoiler free as much as we can for some of this stuff, but you know,
it's the end of the year. It's been out for a while.
It's 2020. It's 2020.
We're gonna go fast and loose. So try to keep up. Okay.
100%.
Okay. So let's just start off with like our fate. Like Chris posed the everybody gets three. Your three favorite movies of 2019. Since it's your idea, Chris, well, why don't you start off? What's one of your give us all three? How about that?
Sure, I would be happy to start us off. Mm. We're limiting ourselves to three. Obviously, I enjoyed very much more than three movies in 2019, yeah. but this is my top three of 2019. The movies that I enjoyed the most in the year. number three goes to Knives Out.
Knives yeah. Out.
Yep. That was
I love that
well.
Movie. Clever.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent direction. Performances are great. I love a interesting, twisty mystery. I love the reframing of sort of the a lot of tropes in terms of the family mystery drama stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I love that movie and Rian Johnson is a genius and so I loved every bit about it.
Here's the next question that I have just to build on that theme. We have a pantheon of directors that we feel kind of can do no wrong. Denis Villeneuve, you know, Christopher Nolan,
David Fincher,
like David Fincher, guys like that. Yes, is Rian yes. Johnson kind of in that level now? Is he in our pantheon of? I mean, he's only made full of movies, yeah, but
no,
he's...
he hasn't cracked that pantheon.
Okay,
yet.
Okay, yep. Just to, I wanted
I mean,
to pose
that's,
a question.
That's like a. I mean, you got to really knock him out of the park. I don't know, and there's a couple of movies that are. I mean, yeah. I don't think he's part of that.
Not yet.
Not yet.
He's on the cusp, for sure.
Sure, okay. So Knives Out. Go ahead. Sorry.
Knives Out, number two is John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum.
Oh, okay. yeah. They just All added right. that to HBO a yes, couple of days ago.
Yes,
so if you're HBO watchers, you can go watch that.
My second favorite movie of the year.
Wow.
John Wick scratches a specific itch for you, Christopher.
It really does.
Yeah.
Again, this is not a list that is, my opinion, the best movies.
These are just your favorite.
Correct.
Yeah.
My criteria is these are the movies I enjoy.
Which should be the same thing. That's fine. Yeah.
Yes. Like, movies I enjoyed the most.
Right.
Yeah.
Of the year. Yeah. And number one is Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. I think we're gonna get some overlap here. So Andrew, give us your three.
And we should all talk honorable mentions. Sure. At the end. So
Well, for sure. And then if we have overlaps, we should talk about that.
Go
for it.
Well, I had overlap with Christopher, of course, in terms of Endgame still gets to me. I mean, might be my favorite. It's probably my favorite movie of the year. I think I've seen it 5 times, and I think I've cried.
Whoa.
4 times or 3 times.
You,
it still
you
gets
cried
to me.
At the Avengers last, Endgame.
Oh, the last 45 minutes, dude. It just gets to me. Totally over. It overwhelms me.
Patrick, you didn't cry at Endgame?
No.
Wow. No. Dude, I cried multiple times.
Yeah, me too.
I haven't cried. I got teary eyed from Jojo Rabbit. Have you seen Jojo Rabbit?
No.
There's a scene in Jojo Rabbit that I got teary-eyed from. But
dude, movies have been getting to me over the past couple years, especially. Movies have been getting to me. Like, I'll get teary-eyed at movies quite frequently, actually.
I never get that emotional from movies anymore.
Oh, no, I totally do. Hmm. Still to this day. And Endgame really got to me a lot. I top-tier experience for me in terms of this year for movies. Knives Out. I everything that Chris said, I echo that. I want to highlight Chris Evans and his turn as kind of the gnarly kind of greasy, spoiled brat who's got his own agenda type of thing.
Fantastic, fantastic.
Great performance going from Captain America to playing that guy. I mean, he's a legit actor. And Captain America for me, I mean, in terms of
how... Did you say Knives Out is number 2 for you?
Giving a general.
Okay.
But Chris Evans and Ana de Armas, who played the domestic worker, the basically the center of the story, she's great. She was in Blade Runner 2049 as the hologram.
She is a Not Ugly Award winner.
Not Ugly. She might be the 2019 Not Ugly Award winner.
That's your nomination. I have a nomination for Not Ugly Award.
Well, she's my nominee. She's a nominee of mine for Not Ugly Award.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then my other third favorite film, and I'll do honorable mentions too, but I think just edging it out to be in the top three was Ready or Not.
Oh my gosh. That's right? Incredible. Yeah. No.
Yeah, Ready or Not was so fun. I only seen it the once.
Yeah.
I loved that movie. It was so fun.
That's my Not Ugly Award winner is Sam Weaving. She is gorgeous.
Oh, the actress, the lead
Yes.
In Ready or Not. She's great too. She's amazing in that movie.
She's great. And yeah, she's
I did not see that movie. I need to see that movie.
Yeah, dude. I had to remind myself that came out this year because I remember it sticking in my brain about how good it was, and we talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah, we did. I remember.
Yeah, and then
never saw it.
Just kind of it left my brain that it came out this year. Ready or Not, Knives Out, and Endgame are definitely my top three from 2019 in terms of movies. Nice. Patrick. Did we lose Patrick?
Maybe we did.
Patrick?
Yes.
We lost you.
I think we lost still... you for a second.
No, I can still hear you guys. Hopefully, I recorded the whole thing. We're gonna keep going. Like,
right. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
You're...
Am I coming hot again?
I mean, you're a little crunchy, but that's you just had a spike.
Spiky. For my top three movies, Avengers Endgame. These are in no particular order. Actually Shazam. I actually had a lot of fun with Shazam this year.
Okay. I could see that. That's a fun movie.
It's fun. And what was the other one that I really liked? Oh, well, I'm gonna say I've seen so many good movies in the past like couple weeks, but I'm gonna say 1917 was like really good.
Yeah.
And it just got released wide in 2020, but apparently because they released it, we're gonna count it as 2019, I guess, because it's in contention for 2019 awards. No.
You're not. That's not the.
I know.
Movie you saw in 2019.
I did see it in 2019.
Okay.
So,
there you okay. go.
Yeah.
I saw it today. It's a tremendous movie.
It's very well made. Really incredible. So I will say this, and this I hope this sparks a little bit of a conversation, is like, I don't think Endgame is my favorite Marvel movie by any stretch. And no. I think that Infinity War is actually a better film. But because it's like this end of this giant storyline, and it wraps up the big six, is like they all have like a good resolution at the end. And they
I don't dispute any of that. Right. And yeah. it's not my favorite Marvel. Right. My favorite Marvel film is still Civil War, not Civil War, Winter Soldier to this day.
Oh, yeah. That's the best one.
I don't think that's possible to get better than Winter Soldier. I think the Winter Soldier, I mean, if we're going to talk, you know, sequels eclipsing the original, it's up there with Empire Strikes Back in terms of quality for a film in a series.
I'm hoping that Black Widow captures that sort of like spy noir kind of intrigue movie. But
well, I mean, Winter Soldier does it for me as well, because it really, before that, Marvel, I mean, they did good comic book movies, but I think that the Russo brothers, and that was their first movie they directed for Marvel, that kind of set them on the path to being like their brand, kind of like their big tentpole movies. They were going to do those. The action in Winter Soldier is more interesting than I think you guys might remember. It is,
yeah,
it's original and interesting and fun. Whereas, you know, before that we had, you know, decent action in the Marvel movies, but the action in Winter Soldier just goes to another level. That's why it's still one of my favorites.
Well, I think that's part of the reason. Yeah,
that movie has emotional heart. And that, though, you put those two things together, and that makes for a great movie, not just a Marvel comic book movie.
So right.
I think it's definitely my favorite Marvel movie.
Yeah. What do we think for honorable mentions for 2019? What kind of just didn't make the cut?
Well, like my honorable mentions are Ready or Not, because like for sure, I mean, that's on your list, but I mean, that was really good.
Yeah.
And it was so different than any horror movie. It had this horror comedy aspect to it.
And I really don't get down with horror movies, but I really enjoyed Ready
or Not. Because it's horror comedy, dude. There's so much like ridiculousness to it, and it's so like interesting and campy, and it
still has like an emotional weight to it. Like
Yeah.
The main character really goes through something.
Yeah, it's really well made.
Yeah.
Marvel, Captain Marvel is on my honorable mention. Toy Story 4 is on my mention.
Oh, yeah.
Rise
of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Honorable mention for me, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was really good.
And just because the NASA nerd in me, and it's such a good documentary, the Apollo 11 documentary that came out.
Oh, yeah.
In the springtime,
that's really good.
Yeah, I saw that in the theater. It's incredible.
Oh,
so
you did?
Oh yeah. No, I mean, there's no kind of narration. There's no voiceovers. There's no cut to experts, you know, talking and giving context. It is just archival footage of the Apollo 11 moon landing. And there's little text on screen to kind of.
There's new stuff that I'd never seen before. Was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great. So that kind of that makes my honorable mentions as well.
I mean, I feel like this was a really good year for movies, because like Ford versus Ferrari came out this year.
Very, very good.
I really liked Alita: Battle Angel.
I did too. I was just thinking that.
I thought of that yesterday as well when I was looking at movies.
I like that.
It's a fun movie. Hopefully they make a sequel to that, because I think it could be an interesting series. Yeah. I thought it would have been better if they'd made that into like an 8 or 10 episode series on like Netflix or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like the broader story. I think it would have been a better kind of fit for that for that world and that that
they could have definitely stretched that story out to be put to be 8 episodes. Well, should we move on to our top three favorite shows since since you're bringing up Netflix and streaming shows?
Yes, we should.
Let's go the other way now. Andrew, tell us your top three favorite shows.
I mean, I think these are in a particular order. I think the Mandalorian, just because it's Star Wars and it's so good.
I feel like we're gonna have a lot of overlap.
Have a lot of overlap, and then. My number two is The Expanse. I was happy to see that show come back. And season really four good. Was just high quality sci-fi television with lots of strong characters. You know, the fourth book is, we talked about it before. It's probably one of the lesser of the novels in this series, but I think adding in Bobby's story, giving Avasarala more to do, and I mean, you can't go wrong with the actor who plays her, Suresh Agadashlu. She's amazing. So yeah, season four of The Expanse on Amazon was great, and the number one, and it might be one of the best seasons of television ever, and I would be fine if they didn't make another one. Watchmen, I mean, far and away maybe the best season of television I think in recent years.
Yeah, just totally. Incredible. Yeah, so, I mean, it's so good, and people are talking about whether they should make a sequel, like another season or not. And that's because it was just so popular. But like, I would be totally fine if they just left it at what it is.
Completely fine. Yeah. Just the one season.
All the stories kind of get wrapped up, except for like a couple of things. There's all the questions I had got answered.
So sad. And there's
like a cliffhanger on the end a little bit, but it's sort of like I don't need the answer. Like
I don't need. If I that's think what they it. That's fine. Is fine.
Yeah,
I think that, and it does the perfect balance of serialized television and individual stellar episodes. Like it tells one overarching plot, obviously, and you get information in each episode, and some episodes feed into the plot more than others. But there are legitimate episodes in that series, in that season, that are some of the best episodes of television you'll ever see.
Well, that we talked about this. That the memory episode is the one in my top five episodes of all time.
A god walks into a bar.
Well, no, the one where Angela Abar takes the memories of her
father, grandfather. Yeah,
God, that one is incredible.
We get the origin of Hooded Justice.
The Hooded Justice one. Yeah. Oh my god.
That's as good of that is peak. I mean, all time peak TV.
Yes. Yeah,
I agree. So those are my top three. There's a couple honorable mentions in there. The Witcher, I think, probably just because it was so fun and it's become so memey now. And there was such a huge content drop in December in terms of genre television
that
people I follow on Twitter and like people and, you know, in my life that are now watching The Witcher getting caught up. So it's like becoming, it makes me kind of want to watch it again.
Yeah.
Because people are now discovering it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, far and away, number one is The Watchmen, and then Expanse and The Mandalorian are kind of my top two for 2019.
Christopher, what's your three? Cause I feel like we're going to have a lot of overlap. Cause my numbers
Patrick,
are similar.
You go. And then I will finish. Yeah.
Okay. Everything that you just mentioned are on my top three, but also my honorable mentions. So like Witcher, Mandalorian, and Watchmen are my top three, but like my honorable mentions are The Expanse season four and what was the other one that you mentioned? Maybe you didn't mention another one, but yeah, dude, those shows are so good. And are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys went silent.
Yeah, we were just listening to you.
We're processing. Yeah.
So I mean, like, I love fantasy television, and I think The Witcher has been incredible. Star like The Mandalorian. Everybody says the same thing to me, especially because like I'm a geek and I talk about these geeky things all the time. People always say to me like The Mandalorian feels like Star Wars. Yeah. We haven't said that since Disney took over for it, and it's like this refreshing thing of you know, it's actually a Star Wars show, and it's simple and good and direct, and like, it doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to be this big old, like, crazy, you know, daughter of Palpatine stuff. It's just, he's a Mandalorian. He's a bounty hunter. He gets into this, like, crazy stuff. He goes to these planets. He gets in adventures, and it's like, it's a cowboy western.
It's a samurai show more. I'm gonna dispute western. The idea, because I mean the western genre kind of grew out of the samurai genre as well.
It's a samurai show, yeah.
I feel like it's samurai western. It's definitely samurai western, but like, I see what you're saying. He's like a Ronin. He's definitely like this traveling guy. But
I'm gonna build on what you said about the fact that it feels like Star Wars, and there's lots of people who have made noise about the Disney era of Star Wars and this, you know, not feeling like classic Star Wars, which I'm going to push back on a little bit, because people, I mean, when The Force Awakens came out, people were so gratified that it felt like the original trilogy felt like that's what they thought. And then once they kind of got over that nostalgia kick in their brain, they wanted a little more originality.
Yeah,
with it. I mean,
it's a rehash. It's basically.
Hold on. Let me finish my point. The other idea of the fact is, it's not made for the big screen, so it doesn't need to be a 2 hour or 2.5 hour film that fills into a trilogy
with space battles.
It's, you know, with space battles and, you know, the big arch galaxy defining conflicts, which is what we expect from the big screen. Mm-hmm. It can be kind of like, it can be that episodic kind of taking its time storytelling that exists in your TV, in your, you know, in your living room, that premieres once a week, and you really get invested in it that way, and they can tell different kinds of stories. I mean, it's it feels like Star Wars, yes, but I'm going to push back on the idea that it's a different kind of storytelling medium, so they can do different things.
Right.
It tickled that piece of our brain that Star Wars.
Well, and then
familiar and nostalgic, so it fits into that idea because we grew up with it, and that. So
I get it. Mandalorian hits the nostalgia button better
than the movies, I think, does.
But also like Baby Yoda capturing the hearts and the minds of like the internet. Like,
absolutely.
It's like that just sort of like took over. And you can't go anywhere without seeing something Baby Yoda, some Baby Yoda meme or it's just, you say Baby Yoda and everybody just smiles.
It's become almost ubiquitous now. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's sort of this, it's really cool. And,
but it resonates because, again, it's such a good show because it is a character driven show.
Mm-hmm.
Where you never see the face of the character until the last episode.
Yeah.
I mean, that alone means they did a great job.
Yep.
Because talk about, we've seen many a thing where people are wearing masks or helmets or otherwise, and it's impossible to get emotional resonance because it's so hard to do. And they did it so well, where the central character is someone who wears a helmet. Well,
and to build on the idea of the mask just as an idea that existed in popular culture in 2019. I mean, part of the Watchmen's genius is it deconstructs the idea of why people put on masks in their lives, and why they have to do that. And you know, the Mandalorian even kind of doesn't go nearly as deep in terms of the psychological motivations of his character, of the character's motivations for putting on a mask. But there's definite power in the fact that we never see his face through 95% of the show.
Yep.
Right.
So
right.
That storytelling element.
They don't even explain it to the general audience until the third episode, I would say, like when he's in that village and the woman asks him about like, when was the last time you took your helmet off?
Yeah. In the presence of other people. And it's been forever. It's been years. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just one of the codes of the Mandalorian.
Yeah. It's really interesting stuff.
It is.
Christopher, keep going.
My three, Watchmen is on the list 100%. That's as good a season of TV as I've seen in a very long time. Talk about a difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
To call back to a incredibly popular and iconic comic book series, and then expand the universe and improve upon it. In my view, it was
use the tenets of the universe to tell.
It's amazing.
A different kind of story, yes, but it still fits in the themes of that the universe created.
It's a genius level show making.
Yeah, it really is.
And my other two are not overlaps with you.
Okay,
gentlemen. No,
look at you.
Also in my top three is Stranger Things season 3.
Yeah,
that's a good honorable mention. That was a
great honorable mention for
it's
sure.
In my top, that's in my top three.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in my top three for 2019 is Veronica Mars season 4.
I never watched that. That came and went, and I never watched it.
I'm a marshmallow.
You are.
And I am all in on Veronica Mars and what she represents, and that show and the original show and season 4.
Well, you were part of the Kickstarter campaign for the movie, weren't you?
For the movie, yes.
Yeah, you threw some dough towards that. That's awesome.
I did throw some dough at it. Yes. I'm a huge fan, and season 4 was fantastic.
So I have another honorable mention, The Boys. Amazon's The Boys. Yep,
that's absolutely on
in an really, honorable for me. Really good series. I'm really excited to see season 2 of that.
I enjoyed the hell out of that show.
I really enjoyed it a lot. Trying to think what other
just part of the content drops in December that may have gotten missed. I love season 1 of Lost in Space, and season 2 dropped, and I watched it in like 2 or 3 days. That's still an entertaining show. I really love Toby Stevens.
We have to mention Chernobyl. Chernobyl is ridiculously
so
great
good.
TV.
Yeah, not necessarily like our wheelhouse, but it's sort of like. Oh, and Russian Doll.
Man, oh yeah, sorry, that actually ties. I think I can't believe I left this off because I've been thinking about this, but. Russian Doll, I think, is my favorite show of the year.
Wow.
Whoa. Okay. Yep. We're retroactive. Like yep. that. I mean, that's a great show. It's so weird. It's so good.
I replace Stranger Things season 3 with Russian Doll. Russian Doll, I think, is my favorite show of the year.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
That's
okay.
Intense. I like that.
Yeah, dude.
Have you watched it, Andrew?
I have not watched Russian Doll.
Oh my god, man!
Russian Doll is bizarre.
I am not a huge fan of that main actor,
Natasha Lyonne.
I am not a huge fan of her. She just does anything. I'm not piqued by my interest is not piqued by seeing her in things. Oops. So I think I kind of knew that it was a thing and people loved it, but I just kind of moved on because I wasn't terribly interested in it. Just because I'm not a huge fan of hers. That's all.
You got to watch it, dude.
Okay,
it's incredible.
Oh, I've only heard good things about it. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
you know what we did a lot of episodes this year for the Game of Thrones finale, and I feel like we have to just mention that we did, 8 episodes of one shots talking about each episode, and like how that's not on any of our lists because it was so disappointing. And it was like, if we're thinking about like bottom of the barrel stuff, like I definitely think that like Game of Thrones was such an utter disappointment for the year.
I mean, it was the Game of Thrones is so intrinsically linked to this podcast because it kind of debuted. You know, we've always talked about it. We've always been recaps. We've read the books. We're fans. You know, we've been waiting with bated breath for whenever book 6 comes out. but the last season, while it does certain things well, I don't want to get off on the worst ofs because that I hate that shit. I hate the worst of lists are so annoying.
I just didn't want to say worst of, but like it definitely like
it was disappointing.
Oh, it's not
like
even close to being the worst.
We knew what it was going to be, and we wanted it to be 6 episodes of the best TV we've ever seen.
Yeah,
and it wasn't.
And it wasn't.
Yeah that's all. So,
okay.
Go watch Russian Doll, dude.
Okay.
Go watch Russian Doll. Did you watch The Boys? Did you watch The Boys, Andrew?
Yes. I never watched The Boys either.
Oh my god!
You gotta watch The Boys.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta watch Both The Boys, and you gotta watch Russian Doll.
In The Expanse, The Expanse, it gets an honorable mention. It doesn't crack my top three only because it's my least favorite book, and there's a lot they don't do a lot, and there's not a lot for them to work with in that season. So yeah. I don't think it was top three.
I like the season, but I see what you're saying. It's not the best season of the show. It was a lot of fun to watch, and I love that universe, and I loved more of that.
Well, and thinking back on it, right? I mean, the honestly, the weakest part of the season is the plot that's on New Terra.
Yes,
I mean, yeah, the plot with Bobby and the plot with Avasarala on Earth are the two most interesting plots of the show.
And the
introduction to Marcus.
Oh yeah.
Where the series goes.
Oh, I cannot. Season 5 is going to be insane.
The seeds of that are planted in this season are subtle, and oh my God, where the rest of the series goes, and the role that he plays in the rest of the series, so is just
Marcus? He's the Inaris. Terrorist.
Marcus Inaris. Marco
Inara. He's the guy they get caught, and he's
the belter.
He's a master. He's created this mastermind plot against Earth, against the inner planets.
Yeah,
and it's a long simmering thing that he's doing to kind of free the belt.
You will connect the dots next season.
Yeah, season 5 will blow your freaking mind, dude.
Yes.
If it tracks with what they do in the books.
They're just trying to get there. Okay. Because I mean, it ends with a big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
It seems really interesting, and I'm really excited, and like Amazon taking over for it is really great, because I mean, honestly, Amazon's killing it right now. If I could say one, the best of streaming service of the streaming services, I would say Amazon. It gets my, like, they have the best content. They have the most movies posting. They've won the most awards, like Fleabag and.
Yeah, I can't believe Fleabag came out this year too. I can't believe I forgot.
I haven't watched Fleabag, but I've heard it's really good. And
dude,
like,
in terms of like super narrow focused storytelling, it's some of the best stuff you'll ever see.
I need to watch it.
I can't believe I forgot Fleabag from this year. It was such good television. It's just incredible. Phoebe Waller-Bridge is such a good writer.
Susan and I have just started that season 1. So
a Fleabag?
Yeah.
I mean, season 1 is good and it's really entertaining and fun. Season 2 is incredible. Mm-hmm. Of Fleabag. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just wait.
That's what I've been hearing. So I need to get to season 2.
Yeah, season two is incredible storytelling. Cool. Yeah.
Cool. Let's move on to are we gonna do top 3 games? Do you guys have 3 games? All right. Yes. Christopher, start us off. Top 3 games.
Top 3 of my favorite games this year is easy. I played the ton of my two video games that I played the most were Forza Horizon 4,
nice,
and Monster Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Those two games I just played the shit out of in 2019.
Yeah, dude, you're a Monster Hunter.
Yeah, like, and Iceborne came. I took a break from original Monster Hunter, and then Iceborne came out, and I played. And I'm still playing a ton of that. That game is awesome. So fun. Yeah. And then it's a late entry into the top 3 list, but it's got to be said, is my number 3 game of 2019 is Gloomhaven.
That tabletop game.
Well, we played last year. I got it in 2018.
Uh-huh.
Again, Kickstarter, and I ordered it and I got it, right? And so I got that in 2018. I took it to Colorado. We played like 2 scenarios in Colorado, and then I brought it back to Tucson, and then didn't crack it open again because I wanted to, Sean and I had started a scenario and a party, and we wanted to keep playing together, right? Well, then Sean got his own box of Gloomhaven.
Nice.
And so this last holiday season, you know, 3 weeks ago, when we went up to Colorado to play, we busted out his and we started an all new campaign with four new characters, and we knocked out like three scenarios while I was there. And then because we both have the game now, we are playing together over the phone with him, his setup in Colorado, my setup in Arizona. And we have continued to play. Like this morning we played for another 2.5 hours.
There's supposed to be a app that you can get.
Yes.
That like you can share where the board is or something, or like dice rolls. I can't remember what this
there's
is called.
There's no dice in
there's no dice.
Gloomhaven. Yep.
Okay.
There's an app that helps you to keep track of your card play and the status of your characters and battles and stuff like that. I've looked at it. I haven't fully mastered it. We aren't using any of that. It's totally analog other than calling each other. But
so like you're, is it set up like the same way? I'm like, is there like a draw card kind of like where does the
do you have 3 hours hit? For me to explain,
like, no. Okay we'll continue. I would like every fantastic episode. I would like you to give us 10 minutes of Gloomhaven.
Gloomhaven is a little much. You get 5 minutes
for minutes for the Gloomhaven report. I agree.
2020 will be 10 minutes every episode of the Gloomhaven report. I'm good.
Okay, it's not gonna be 10 minutes, folks. It's gonna be 5 minutes. I'll make sure it's always Christopher could talk much longer than 10 minutes about Gloomhaven.
Oh yeah,
yes, I could.
We have syndrome because of Christopher. Yes, we do.
I can be. Anyway, Gloomhaven is in my top three games of 2019.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. Andrew, what do you got?
No shock for me. I mean, Destiny 2 is kind of home for me, so I came back to it with Shadowkeep, and I played a ton of that. So that's always fun. There's so much to do, and that. Yeah, they've kind of corrected some initial kind of launch game issues, but I always come back to Destiny 2 as a game that I always play. I'll go off it for a while, but I always come back to it. I tried to play The Witcher 3. I got it used and I just couldn't, you know, my brain couldn't work with the controls, but it's an incredible game. Just being in the game for an hour and trying to run around.
Did you go back to it after watching The Witcher? Did you?
No, I didn't. You played it a lot more that week that you were here for Christmas, obviously.
Dude, I wish I owned it, because I would.
You can find it used for $10 probably somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure I can. I mean, it's a 2015 game, and it looks a little dated, but it's pretty good.
I'm playing the hell out of it now.
It's really good.
Well, since the Witcher series dropped, it's the most one of the, like, it's played more now on Steam or downloaded more now than it was at its launch.
I saw an IGN report about, like, because the game came out, they sold more and people are playing it more than, you know, because it created buzz about the world. The world is really interesting. Geralt's really interesting. I wish I had a way to, like, play the video for you, but there's this hilarious video running around the internet right now of a supercut of Geralt saying and fuck
all the as Geralt memes that
he literally says,
so fun.
He just says like a billion times throughout the show, and you don't see it. And then it's like those are his two like responses to all scenarios. Is like, is this a moment or is this a fuck moment?
Exactly.
It's so great.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the memes for Witcher have kept it kind of in pop, and I mean that's what
the memes are so good.
The memes for The Witcher, the memes for Baby Yoda. I mean, those two, the fact that those things have been so memeable over the past like 30 days have really kind of kept the buzz up about those two shows. So it still feels like fresh, even though they came out a month ago, both of them. Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
I can. Yep.
Ken Patrick.
Oh no. Oh no! Okay. Wow, I could. I came back. Okay.
I came back.
I think I keep getting hiccups. What's the,
well, the third? My third game.
Oh yeah.
Talked about The Witcher. Talked about Shadowkeep. The Harry Potter Wizards Unite. The augmented reality.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That dropped over the summer, and I played a ton of that for like a month.
Yeah.
I played it every single day for a month. It was just like Pokemon Go a couple years ago, where I played it every single day for a month, and there's, it was just so fun. Who
play that game. Oh man.
But Pokemon Go and Wizards Unite, I will see people in public, like going to gyms and going to, like, you know, wizard battles and stuff like that. But
do you still fire it up? Do you still get down?
I haven't for the last couple weeks, just because I haven't, you know, it, I kind of reached a point where like I have to go to places to like do wizard challenges and stuff like that. And I just wasn't anymore, you know, cause you got to go to certain places and like challenge like
dark
creatures and stuff. But what was it, Christopher? I was down there when we moved Kristen into her new apartment, that dropped over that weekend. And whenever we had a spare moment, we were playing Wizards Unite. We set up our profiles and all that other stuff. Yeah. That was Wizards Unite. That got played a ton this year. So that's on definitely my top three list for 2019.
Yep. Okay. So my top three. I don't think this game is very good, honestly, but I played a lot of it. It's Borderlands 3, and it's on my list because I got to play it with my homies. We played it together. It was sort of like a loot grind kind of a shooter that we had fun with, and we liked the other Borderlands game. My two buddies liked it a lot more than I did, but it was fun playing with my friends, and so that's what I appreciate from a game, is like playing a good game with friends. And my other two was, I just watched so much Star Wars this year, and with The Mandalorian, I was like so into it that I started playing Battlefront 2 again. And
Battlefront 2, get a copy of that.
It's so dialed in now, and it has so much more like the whole loot crate shit stuff is like out of the table. You just earn credits and you buy the skins you want, and it's like it's fine, and they fixed it, and they have like so many cool maps now. There's new maps from the new movies, Rise of Skywalker. There's new characters from, you can play as BB-8 running around.
That's fun. I didn't know that. That's cool.
You're like a support character. I haven't done it, but I want to do it. There's like co-op missions you can do. There's single player. The single player campaign is really cool. You play as like an Imperial, but it keeps going. And then there's like, you join the Rebels, and there's all this like cool, like Star Wars. It scratches the itch of the sound effects too. The sound effects are pure Star Wars.
The music and the Star Wars Star Warsy. Yeah.
All the blasters sound perfect. All the music sounds perfect. You get to play as the Jedi and just murder fools. It's so much fun. And then Jedi Fallen Order, which I'm still playing, which is the most frustratingly hard game that I played. Like this, I mean, it's really not as brutal as Dark Souls. People really equate it to Dark Souls, but the people who are equating it to Dark Souls, I don't think ever played Dark Souls. Dark Souls is it's the most frustrating game I've ever played in my life, and I never want to go back to that place. You know?
Yeah.
But this game, like, it gives you a little bit. You get to this part, and it's like, okay, you don't have to backtrack.
Well, what difficulty are you playing it on? Because I've heard people playing it on Jedi Grandmaster difficulty, where they talk about it's as difficult as the most difficult Dark Souls game.
This is the Dark Souls is hard. But the thing about Dark Souls that I never liked was how brutal it is if you fail. Because the system is made up, not to go too far, explain too much, but like you get to this point, and whatever you like, you're going from fire to fire, and those are your save points. You get to those save points, and it resets all the guys behind you and in front of you. So if you get to that place, then that's your new save point. And you have all the experience if you get to that point. If you get killed on the way, it drops all the experience that you had. And and you have to go back to the save point you were at and then work your way back to where you were, kill the thing that killed you to get your experience back. If you get killed along the way at any point, you lose the experience that all you had.
Oh, shit.
I've never gotten into those. You guys can hear me, right?
Yeah.
I've never gotten into those games because of that, the punishing nature of
it. It's punishing. It's punishing because if you fail...
I've never understood that game design.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
But, I mean, Christopher, you play Monster Hunter where you have 30-minute fights with a monster and then you die.
Yes.
Is that a similar kind of punishing?
Yes. But
you don't lose levels if you get killed, though.
You don't lose.
You lose levels if you get killed.
Yeah.
And that's the takeaway is like,
I think people are probably talking about the combat being as hard as a Dark Souls game.
Oh, and here's the thing. It's like, you're running along, you see a stormtrooper, you're like, I'm going to kill this guy. And then a freaking creature jumps out of the ground and murders you, and it's just like, no.
So are you enjoying the game or not?
Yes and no.
this is the list of the three games you loved.
I love this game. No, it's so Star Wars. The story is amazing.
Yeah,
you are a Jedi Knight, and it is awesome.
That's cool.
And you like the Force powers feel awesome and powerful. But not like crazy Force Unleashed stupid ass shit. You know, it feels like it should. Like, you push a dude and he gets stumbled. But there are guys who will go toe to toe with you. Like, there are Inquisitor dudes who are running around who will light you up. And you try to force pull them, and they stick their staff in the ground to slow themselves down. That kind of stuff.
That's like, awesome.
It's like fun. They have ways of counteracting you being powerful. And it's sort of I definitely love this game. And I feel like no matter what we say, like, for me, this is the year of Star Wars. We got the Mandalorian, Jedi Fallen Order was incredible, and then Rise of Skywalker being like the third movie of this big trilogy. I mean, this all happened in the last like month, and you know, Battlefront being like such a big part of my
There are enough people playing Battlefront.
Oh yeah. Dude, it came back. Well, they just released an expansion, so that brought a lot of people back. But it's really dialed in right now. You know, it's just really fun.
Copy that.
Oh no, dude, I got mine for $20.
It's awesome.
I need to check that out.
Me too.
It's the kind of thing that we can play together, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we could definitely play together.
We should get
Well, we should do that.
Once I have some money in the bank, I'll, you know, because I started my new job last week, so I'll get a paycheck here in the next week or so. I'll purchase Battlefront 2.
Right, let me know when you do that, and I'll do the same thing.
Awesome. Sweet.
Worth it. I mean, honorable mentions for games. I don't really have any.
I don't really have anybody. I don't really have too many. I mean, I played Halo. I replayed through Halo 1.
Yeah.
And
that was a
nostalgia trip. I did not get to the end of it, but I restarted a campaign for Halo 1.
This is part of the Master Chief collection. Yeah. That was good. I mean, it looked good.
We need to play Blood Gulch.
Oh, sniper. My gosh.
Blood Gulch snipers. We need to do that.
Do you own such the Master trip. Chief collection, Christopher?
Yes, I do.
I don't own it, so I'll have I'll have to check that out.
All right.
Well,
I have an honorable mention.
It's
a Steam game called Football Tactics and Glory.
Okay.
What is it called? Sorry.
Football Tactics and Glory.
Football Tactics and Glory. Go ahead. Yes,
it is on Steam. It is a turn-based soccer, you know, football. Basically turn-based football sim. So it's like a combination of Football Manager. So you're the manager, owner of this. You start as owner of this podunk football club, wherever you want to be in the world. And then there's a bunch of like ownership kind of stuff, signing contracts, control, you know, promoting your team, getting attendance, you know, re-signing players, their contracts are expiring. You have to deal with all of that. And then the game on the field involves you training your players, getting them better, all of that. And then the game itself, playing the game itself is turn-based, like it's turn-based combat, but on a pitch. And so you move your character.
This sounds like the ultra nerdiest version of a soccer game that could be constructed.
Oh my God, it's so nerdy, dude. But it is so fun. It is so fun. And it's all about improving, you know, and because we watch so much Premier League, you understand sort of the real, like, deeper level. You control your formations. You control, you know, the composition of your the starting 11. You control all of that. And so and it's all about putting your players in a position to have the ball to score the goals. And so, and your team is not good to start. It's really kind of painful, but the games go quick. Again, it's all turn-based. It's really ultra nerdy soccer fun. So
that's
like fun.
That's cool.
That's my honorable mention game because I've played a lot of that.
I guess my honorable mention for 2019 is The Witcher. I want to play more. I haven't played more. So fixated with Star Wars Fallen Jedi. Mm-hmm. Fallen Order. Yeah. Jedi Fallen Order. I'll put that in there because as soon as I'm done with this, I'm probably going to fire that up. And
I love what we've given birth to is 2020, the 10-minute Gloomhaven corner. That's
great. Yeah.
Good. Good.
You're going to get 5 minutes.
You're responsible for that.
You're going to get 5 minutes.
Well, Sean, legendary listener Sean and I are responsible for that because
I expect some pictures of the board so that we have some context for our listeners.
Well, I will take a picture of my setup and then
make sure you get some detailed shots of like your characters and junk like that. So
That part I'm definitely interested in.
I want to see the art of this too because I've only seen this giant box.
Yep.
And none of what's inside. You took that one picture, but you can't really see.
Yeah, I sent you. I feel like it's got that one. You could use that one.
All right. Good.
Cool.
Good. But I'll take some more. I'll take some more details.
Andrew, do you have some best of 2019 trivia for us?
Wait. Books. Things we read.
Oh, God. I skipped ahead. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely do. I'm in the middle. The last year or two has been living in the fantasy books of Joe Abercrombie. I've been discovered him and I've been reading those. And he released a new book this year called A Little Hatred. It's the first book in a new trilogy set in the same world. It's the next generation of people in this world. So I've been digging into that and I love it. It's a lot of fun. His writing is really dark and funny at the same time. So it's really interesting fantasy. It plays on a lot of those tropes. So I really dig on him. And I read a novel that was published years ago. I read it this year though, a novel of his called The Heroes. It tells the story of one huge battle between these two nations in this fantasy world spread over 3 days. And it's like a 600-page book.
Whoa.
Have you guys read? I mean, I'm pretty sure Christopher has. I don't know if you have, Patrick, but the Michael Sharab book, The Killer Angels.
Yes, I read that. Yep.
It's the high fantasy version of that.
Whoa.
It tells the story of like 20 characters told over 3 days, this massive battle. And
what's the name of this?
The book is called The Heroes.
Okay.
And it's by Joe Abercrombie, and
Do you have to have read the other?
It helps because they're the minor characters that appear in his original First Law trilogy are the main characters in this novel, and it definitely builds on some of the themes. It's a standalone book, but having knowledge of the world definitely helps you understand what's going on.
I started that First Law book and it's just so like this universe is just so bleak and brutal that it was pretty hard for me to get through.
No, I completely understand that. That is the criticism. It is how dark it can be and how bleak it can feel. I really fell in love with the characters in that first book, though. And the heroes I read, yeah, that particular novel as a standalone novel set in that world really was fun and interesting to read. And I like the I like the structure of, you know, it's told over 3 days. It's this one massive battle. It has like 20 different point of view characters. It was just really an interesting novel. I like.
Is it like this is the battle from this guy's perspective? This is the battle from this guy's perspective. Or
yes, and the intersecting lines throughout the 3 days of the various characters. It's
the Killer Angels is about Gettysburg.
Fictionalizes real.
And it's all the characters on both sides of the battle. You know, all the main sort of leadership characters and some frontline characters.
Yeah.
Throughout that Gettysburg battle. So I love that structure. It's a great book.
I'm sure that he had that book in mind when created this, because it definitely it plays on that, certainly. That's so great. It's a really interestingly written novel, and the characters are fun to read, and you know, it's got really fun action, you know, high fantasy action scenes. So and he tells those really well. And then I did a reread just because I had so much free time being, you know, unemployed for half the year. I did a reread of Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men comics series.
Oh, yeah.
Shit really holds up, dude.
I think I have the hardcover of that.
The first one gifted all the way through the end where they go to the Break World and Kitty Pryde saves the Earth from the Break World bullet. You know, that entire like 25 issue.
I don't know if I read that far into it.
Oh, jeez. My God, dude. That last 6-7 issue arc is great. The X-Men leave Earth and they go to the Break World to like take on this alien culture that's trying to kill them.
Yeah. You remember a time when Joss Whedon was like small potatoes where he would write comics, you know, and he would just like do little stuff like that. And he was like so far ahead of it, you know.
Yeah, I mean the themes that are built throughout Astonishing X-Men, you absolutely see in his two Avengers movies. The superhero themes he builds throughout those, it's really kind of the medium that I think works best for him in terms of superhero storytelling is comics. He really was at home and he was knocking it out of the park through that entire run. So
wow.
Astonishing X-Men, the Whedon run. From like what 10 years ago now, I think it is.
Wow.
I reread all of those this past year. That is great comic book storytelling.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah,
those are my three.
I'll have to check that out. Nice. Go for it, Christopher.
Tiamat's Wrath came out in 2019.
Yeah.
So that's a top book of mine. That book is incredible. I love that series. It's an amazing read. It takes the series to a new, you know, continues there. It is, it's a great series, and that is a great book. So
it escalates the stakes of that series.
I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah. Very cool way.
Yep. The other book that's in my top three for reads is The Wanderers by Chuck Wendig. Did you guys hear about this book?
No.
So it is a epic sort of apocalyptic standalone book. The premise of the book is that a plague afflicts the world. The people who are afflicted are appear to be sleepwalking.
Okay.
And they are impervious to all attempts to wake them up and to in any way interrupt their walking. They are all walking in a specific direction. If you try to stop them from their walking, they explode and kill everyone around them.
Oh.
Okay.
And so it is the tale of multiple families and people who have family members who are afflicted by this. And, you know, of course, if that happened and people were walking across the United States, it's set primarily in the United States. People are walking across the United States. Of course, there would be a caravan surrounding the walkers to try to be with them. And the CDC gets involved, and there's a whole sort of story about what would happen, and all of, and it's also a very strong commentary on current American attitudes. And it is a commentary on sort of some of the divide in America in terms of perspectives on science and religion and race and lots of other things. It is a fabulous book that I highly recommend.
Wow.
So, all right. Cool.
And I too, also in my top three, is a rewatch, and it is Watchmen, the Watchmen comic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I did a rewatch before that show came out, and it is phenomenal. And I have the Absolute Watchmen, and so it's the scaled up version of the comics. And the comics are beautiful. The writing is amazing, and the Absolute Watchmen is quite the so.
That's awesome.
Those are very my three. Cool.
Can't dispute any of those. Yeah, no. Chuck Wendig is on my radar just because I know that he's written things in the Star Wars universe since Disney took over the property.
Yep.
And his Twitter is hilarious.
Twitter is hilarious.
Because he goes right at some of the dipshit, you know, fanboys that criticize and shit on all the Disney, quote unquote, Disney Star Wars stuff.
Yep.
Because they came after him. Didn't he write the Darth Vader comic series for a while?
Yes.
And then it got canceled or something?
I read that. That was a great comic series a couple years ago.
Yeah. Some fanboys came after him, and he would just go right at him. And he's he's a very thoughtful, in terms of his Twitter, in terms of how he thinks about Star Wars. He, you know, what the points he makes really kind of resonated with me.
Yep.
That's where he's on my...
His writing is clean and excellent. So
that's cool.
Wanderers. It's not The Wanderers. Wanderers. Highly recommend that.
I got an Audible credit. Maybe I'll download that and listen to it. That sounds interesting.
That's
really
awesome.
Good. It's
that's
really awesome. Good. Yep.
The three things that I have on my list are Monstrous. I read Monstrous Volume 3 year. Yeah. Monstrous is still really, really good. And I'm not sure how much of the run of Paper Girls came out this year, but I read the fifth and sixth this year. And that series finally, like, I think I talked about that a long time ago, a couple, like maybe like, you know, 40 episodes ago about, it being kind of bizarre and not really knowing where it was going, but then it's sort of just like, it all adds up. And now you kind of have like a better sense of the world and where it's going and the ventures they're going into. And it's really, really crazy. Like the past couple of volumes have been a nuts. And, so I really enjoyed that. And then for books, I really only have read this one nonfiction book, but it's sort of in our genre, is this book called Best Movie Year Ever, which is talking about the year 1999 and all the movies that came out in 1999.
You talked about this book a couple times, and
And this book, it's just such a fun read, and I love movies, and it's just so interesting to learn about like the behind the scenes stuff and what led to it and what was going on at the time and what led to the film getting made and why it was so popular. And like, what was so interesting at the time is like, all the studios, when these movies were coming out, like Fight Club and Being John Malkovich and like Election, like the book keeps hitting this point, was they had no idea that it was going to be as popular as it was going to be. But it was like hitting on these points that society like needed. Like this commentary, American Beauty, this commentary on like the picket fence, the white picket fence is a sham, and like it, like everybody wants it, but like inside they're like freaking the F out. And it was like the state of America at the time. And Fight Club.
I need to read this book.
Dude, it's really good. And like talks about Fight Club and like this layer of like all these guys doing this like dead end job and like no one knew, like they didn't know how it was going to be like received. They were like, how is this going to make a good movie? Like,
yeah,
how can you make this be like what movie did you make? And
The thing that I remember, and I think I read an article or something about the book. I need to actually read the book. The thing that was interesting about Fight Club coming out that particular year was that it was so anti-consumerism, but it was still a big budget studio film.
Right.
It was completely anti-corporation.
Yeah.
And like the kind of disconnect on that is like you have this huge studio putting all this money with two big movie stars of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a movie that's absolutely about anti-consumerism.
Yeah.
The deconstruction of modern ideas of masculinity.
And the guy, what I think is really interesting is like, it talks about the author and like why he wrote the book and like what was happening to him at the time.
Yeah.
Who
wrote this particular book, Patrick? Do you remember?
I see it over in the corner here. Let me grab it.
I have a name in mind, but I don't know if it's right.
Okay, I'm back. It's Brian Rafferty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not the name I'm thinking of.
Yeah. So it's pretty good, and I would recommend it. And like 1999 is 20 years ago. It's weird to think about, right? 20,
yeah. Well, I had my 20-year high school reunion this past year. Jeez. That's wild. I planned it.
So
yeah.
I think it's really interesting that like all these movies. Like once you start to read the book too, you start to see all these like movies. There's like, God, that was a crazy good year. And honestly, like I think 2019 is a pretty good year for movies. Like I said, like, I mean, I saw at least 20 that were like really good, really, really good movies. So we'll
see. Time will tell what kind of movies get remembered out of this year though.
That's the thing. That's the thing for sure. All right. Well, let's try this again. Hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
What trivia do you have for us?
Well, it's the end of your trivia that I've done before, and it's pretty simple in terms for domestic box office.
Oh,
the top 10 films. Give me 5 of the top 10 films.
5 of the top 10
domestic
films.
Box office.
Okay. Domestic.
Yep. Just give me 5. What you would guess are 5 of the top 10.
Okay,
box office for 2019.
Frozen 2.
Okay.
Lion King.
Okay.
Endgame.
Yep.
Endgame. Yep. Aquaman.
Toy Story 4.
Okay. Aquaman came out in 2018, bro.
No shit.
Yeah.
It was the end of the year. It was the end of the year in 2018.
Yeah, it was. No, it was December of 2018. Oh. You guys got 4. That's 4. You got another one?
Damn. What is it? Is it Aladdin?
That's 5.
Oh!
Wow.
Here we go. Domestic box office. And 9 of the 10 films Disney is involved in.
Yes! My God.
I can't remember. Did a Fast and Furious movie come out in 2019?
It wasn't in the top 10. So here we go. Number 10.
Yeah.
It Chapter 2, 211 million. Number 9, Joker, 333 million.
Wow.
Aladdin is number 8, 355 million. Spider-Man Far From Home, 390 million. Star Wars Episode 9, 390 million. In like that was like, you know, 10 days. Captain Marvel, 426 million. Frozen 2, 430 million. It's number four. Toy Story 4, $434 million.
Whoa.
The Lion King, $543 million.
Sure did. Sure did. I watched it last night. Have you guys seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's not
very good. I liked it, actually. It's like a rehash of the original, but it looks incredible.
We watched Aladdin today, Kira and I did.
Aladdin better.
I liked it a lot.
I did not like Aladdin.
I liked it.
I liked Aladdin a lot more than I like Lion King.
I like Lion King because it's basically a shot for shot remake, but with amazing animals and CGI. Yeah.
I disagree, but so that was number two, The Lion King, $543 million, and number one, Endgame, $858 million.
Whoa! What was number two? Because that was
The Lion King with $543 million.
That's what I'm saying. I wanted to hear the jump. 800 and
300 million more.
Yeah. Yep. Holy shit.
That's incredible.
Did you hear they announced today that they're going to do a Rise of Skywalker with extended scenes? They're going to do an extended cut of Rise of Skywalker.
Put it back out?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yep. Yep.
I saw it twice in the theater. Ashton wants to see it again. I'll probably see it a third time in the
I go see it again with the extended scenes. It's good.
Definitely go it's see good. It. It's good.
Yeah. You know. Good. It's good. Anybody who hates it, just like chill out. You're fine. Don't think too hard about it. Star Wars is dumb anyways.
You're allowed to hate it, but you're not allowed to tell me that I'm not supposed to hate it.
Exactly.
Or not supposed to like it. So
exactly. You can fuck off telling me what I can and can't like.
Yeah.
Thinking I'm stupid for thinking the Last Jedi is almost as good as Empire.
Oh,
Strikes
man.
Back.
I watched a video review of these guys are really like the Red Letter Media guys. And at the end of the review, Star Wars, he was saying, if you liked this movie, you have low IQ. And I was like,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, people like that.
I just want to punch them in the nuts.
I like watching those guys because they're funny, but like they can be they are probably the worst part of the internet. They are the snarky nerd dudes
take those guys.
I think it's interesting to hear their opinion. I don't agree with it, but
the fact that it's actually so much more edgy to be positive about stuff.
Yes,
everybody's fucking negative.
It's so easy to be positive. Negative. Yeah, yeah. No.
Edgy
no.
If you like stuff, dicks. Just get it together.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. You should email the podcast, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek @twitter.com, Brothers Geek Podcast on Facebook, and brothersgeek.com. Thank you for listening.
Happy New Year. Decade.
I have to scroll up through all the stupid gifts.
Happy New Decade. Happy New Decade.
The thing I need to do. Okay. Great. Thanks for listening.